Now, if you have your Bible with you tonight, turn with us, and we're going to begin in the book of Revelation. I have a lot of ground to cover tonight, so you just stick with us. In fact, I don't even know if we'll finish it all. Good to see all your smiling faces. Brother Phillips, again. God bless you, Brother Phillips. Good to see you. And I trust that the word tonight will not only be an enlightenment to us, but will be a release to us. You've heard me quote many times since I've been here and been coming here the scripture that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And the Lord made that scripture so real to me when I began to seek Him a year ago. It was a year ago, in fact, in March, in prayer and fasting, and the Lord made us conscious of the powers and principalities that are around us, and I actually saw them. It wasn't just a dim thing. I saw them, and I saw some of the order of their realms, and they're different. I saw some fallen angels. I saw demons, I saw evil spirits, and I think the period of time, it was quite lengthy, but actually it was a very short, brief time that I saw them. Now there is a tape that was sent to me after I had shared some things along this line, or given to me by a dear sister, June Robinson, in Denver, Colorado. And it's an evangelist, I think, that made the tape. Brother Don Crow, if I've got it right. And this was a tape of the testimony. Oh my! His name slips my mind, but he had an experience where he like died, and the angel of God conducted him on a tour through the regions of the damned, the regions of hell. And she thought that I should have this because when I mention, I begin to describe, I'm not going to go into that tonight, but I begin to describe the characteristics of some of these demons that I saw. And this brother had the same thing, oh, in a much deeper way, though. And he continued, if anybody's interested in this tape, when I get home, I'm a terrible, you know, saints, I get so devoted to the Word that people ask me things and I don't know what they're talking about sometimes, you know. But I get so enraptured in the Word sometimes that people ask me a simple little question, and I have to think a while. I don't have Alzheimer's disease or nothing. Really, I don't. But I get so captivated in the Word. My mind is more in the Word. You understand what I'm saying? And really, I forget little things I shouldn't forget. But I forget names. I have a way of forgetting names. But anyway, this brother had such a tremendous revelation, and he saw the different orders of spirits, and he began to describe some. In fact, he said there were some that were completely set aside with the others. It was as though the other demons would have nothing to do with them. And these demons, he said, seemed to work in such great deception that you're not aware they're there. You're not conscious of it. They change forms, and he said they were very hideous, though looking. And he said some saw that looked like frogs, and that's scriptural. If you remember that these demons that were cast out, they were like frogs. So I will say again, not to scare anybody. I'm not here to scare anybody, but I will say again. Brethren, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers. Powers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And God has so dealt with me about this and about just one portion of this, and that's the Jezebel spirit. So if you have Revelation 2, then let us read from Revelation 2 and 18. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira, or Thyatira, however you want to pronounce it, write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into the great tribulation. Into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the church shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will pour upon you none other burden. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ himself is addressing one of the seven churches. Every one of these churches were saved. Everyone that was a member of it were saved, born again, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Ghost. And as you notice, as he addresses the church at Thyatira, he begins to commend them for their works, their great love, their patience, and their works again. They were a church, a body of believers that had many good works. They abounded in good works, not evil. Good works. They had much patience, and they had great love. And the question I begin to ask myself as I read these scriptures was this: how could a church, a body of believers, that is filled with the Holy Ghost, washed in the blood of the Lamb, have great love in their midst, that is between them, and great love to the world and to the community around them, having great patience? See, the Lord doesn't commend somebody unless it's outstanding. How many know that? They had outstanding patience with one another. I'm sure with the worldling, the unsaved, the sick, the needy. They had great patience. And they had great works of faith. Great works of righteousness. Great works of holiness. Great works of love. And I ask myself, how could it be possible, a church that seemingly, he doesn't talk about division, he doesn't talk about great schisms there, so I'm sure they had some unity. How could that happen, that a church of this nature could allow the Jezebel spirit? And by the way, the word Jezebel in Hebrew means virtuous or chaste. Chaste and virtuous.
That's right.
And this is so misleading. Her name itself is deception. Because now you find in the Greek, when the Lord Jesus is addressing her, or the spirit of Jezebel rather, it's not a woman really, it's a spirit. The Greek word here for Jezebel is false teacher. And how could it be possible a Holy Ghost people walking in love, walking in patience, walking in faith, walking in great works, give themselves over to this spirit of false teaching or false doctrine? It has to be an awful strong spirit. It cannot be something that we're aware of, we're conscious. Because if we're aware of a spirit coming into this meeting, you and I are going to rebuke it. We're going to resist it immediately. So it has to be very strong spirits. And with the false doctrine, there has to be great, 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 tremendous deception. That truth appears, or rather error appears as truth. A lie appears as truth. And of course, Jesus, our Savior, has an ever-seeing eye, and he's very conscious of what's going on. He's conscious of every spirit that's moving, good and evil. And he sees right through their works, their patience, their love. He said, I have somewhat against you. I have somewhat to tell you. And that is, you have allowed this spirit of Jezebel to come in and to bring false doctrine, false teachings, so that it has corrupted you. It has defiled you. It has robbed you of the fullness of my joy, of the anointing and power of my spirit, of revelation and truth that I could share with you, but I can't. You have been robbed of these things because you have given yourself over to them. And you're still there. Therefore, he says, I will, well, first in the 20th verse, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach, to seduce. How many know what seduction is? Seduction is... You take advantage of somebody's weakness. Somebody has a weakness, and you capitalize on that weakness. And before I'm done tonight, I trust that this word you will take with you, and you will remember it, that when things arise that are arising, you'll be able to name it, to discern it, and to destroy it.
Hallelujah.
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 He said, therefore, you've allowed her to teach and to seduce you, to take advantage of some of your weaknesses, to capitalize on some of you that have been weak in faith, some of you that have had weaknesses in your lives that you have not overcome yet. Some of you that have a tendency to yield to unrighteousness or to sin. She has seduced you. She has seduced you. All right, the 21st verse. And I gave her space to repent. of her fornication, and this is spiritual fornication, and the fornication that we're talking about here, see, Jezebel here mentioned is not, he's not talking about a physical woman. He is talking about a spirit or spirits, like we call the body of Christ one. See, there can be, there is such unity and harmony in the spirit world among the evil spirits that they are one. They can possess a body 12 at a time, 20 at a time, 100 at a time, 1,000 at a time. They're all one. And they're strong. They're strong. The more of them there are, the stronger they are. And therefore, this fornication is actually a spiritual thing that so deceiving this spirit of Jezebel is that it comes across as truth. Let me bring it down to common plain language. If I came in here tonight and I had an unclean spirit, but I had truth, and I had given myself, excuse me, over to that unclean teaching or that unclean spirit, and I was adhering to that, but I was also adhering to the Word of God, and I came in here tonight and I began to minister to you, you understand? You would have to have such fine-tuned discernment and perception to be able to discern that. The average person or Christian would not be able to discern that. Because fornication is that holy mixture of the unholy things. It is a mixture. And mixtures are hard to tell. If it was just black or white, we could tell. But things that are shaded, that are gray, it's hard to discern that's evil. You understand? Because you see, the enemy don't come in with lies. He comes in with truth. He comes in with truth. He ain't going to win us with lies. He's going to win us with truth. So he comes in with truth. But that vessel is being motivated by a spirit of seduction or a spirit of deception, I should say, to so strong that when that person brings that truth, it is mingled. It is mingled with false doctrine. It is mingled with deception. So that instead of getting pure truth that is not bread polluted, you get polluted bread. You get mixed wine. You understand? In other words, I'm feeding you tonight bread. You get it? Hallelujah. I'm giving you drink new wine. I'm giving you drink wine. Hallelujah. You understand? But it can be polluted. That's right. And the sad part of it all is the individual themselves don't even know it. Right. They have no consciousness, no discernment that they're being used by a spirit of deception. And that's why it's so deceiving.
Amen,
to the very person that's being used, they don't know it.
That's right.
They feel what they're saying and doing and living is right. They feel they're just and holy and righteous. And so, fornication is the mixture. It is having an unholy relationship. It is having an unrighteous relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah. An unclean relationship. It is not having a relationship that is righteous, that is holy, that is true, but it is an unrighteous thing because it's mixed and mingled with a strong spirit of deception or false doctrine. All right, so what does the Lord say he's going to do here? Well, he says, the 22nd verse, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that are their followers, her followers, that commit adultery, spiritual adultery, having relationship with that which is unclean. Huh?
Yes.
Unclean spirits, unclean teaching, unclean doctrines. having spiritual adultery committed. Your union, you've given yourself over to it. You give whatever your mind gets and your soul gets, that's got you. You give your spirit over to a teaching. You give your soul over to a teaching. And honey, that teaching, that doctrine, or whatever it is, has got you.
Yes.
As well as we can yield to the Holy Ghost, we can yield to the wrong spirit and not even know it.
Amen.
Amen.
Said, I'm going to cast her out of bed. And all them that commit adultery with her, them that are a part of her, them that have had a spiritual relationship with her, that have taken her words.
Yes. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
All right. And cast them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. You remember when Paul prayed and he said, my little children, my offsprings, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again till Christ be formed in you. Paul's offspring of the gospel. You understand? Well, if there's offsprings of the gospel, there's offsprings of the evil spirit. When he mentioned her children, he was talking about her offsprings. That spirit that produced offsprings. Are you following me yet?
Yeah.
This spirit of deception, the spirit of false doctrine, those that received it became the offspring of it, the children of it, born of it. Are you following?
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to take her children, her offsprings. See, there's offsprings in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are his children. Come on.
Amen.
We're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, begotten of his spirit.
Hallelujah.
Come on, saints.
Yeah.
We are the children of God.
Yeah.
Well, those that accept the evil spirits and the false teaching are actually children of that false spirit.
Hallelujah.
Oh yes, they're offsprings. Huh? Are you still there? Probably some of you never heard this kind of thing before, but I haven't even started yet. I'm just laying a little bit of foundation with, you know, we're going to get into the gospel in just a minute, or back rather in the Old Testament in just a minute. All right. He said, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches rather, shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. He's the only one that knows the heart. And the heart is good, kind. No, the heart is desperately wicked. Yes, deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. Now God only knows your heart. The heart, the Bible talks about the heart. It is not talking about the thing in us that goes boom, boom and pumps the blood. It is talking about our character, our nature, what you are, what I am. When God says, I'm going to change the heart of man, he's going to change our nature. Understand what I'm saying here? Don't ever get the idea he's trying to change that physical thing down there. You know, that's going to die. When we die, it's going to die. But our spirit is going to live forever.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? So he's changing our character. And our character comes from our soul. It comes from our, what we are is down in our soul. That's what we are. And that's what he's changing. And that's a spirit. That's a form of spirit. It is a low grade spirit, but it is spirit form.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I will kill her children, and that all the church may know. The 21st verse, but unto you I say, and unto the rest at Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan. This doctrine is Satan. It is satanic. It is motivated by him. It is induced by Him. It is promoted by Him. These are doctrines of devils. Huh? So you see, it's something more than just a reading the book wrong. It's more than getting the words mixed up or taking a word out here and there. It's much more than that. It goes far deeper. When he's talking about false doctrine, you would say, well, Brother Campbell, my goodness, everybody makes a mistake here. I mean, you know, I've made mistakes too. Sometimes I believe something and I found out later on that wasn't right. It was kind of twisted. I mean, we'd all made that. He shouldn't deal with them that bad. See, it goes deeper than that. Because behind it all are evil spirits. The spirits are in control. The spirits are speaking through that vessel and bringing forth their doctrine. And that doctrine is so sharp and so penetrating and so seductive that if you're not on your guard and you're not open to it and you're not walking close to the Lord, unknowingly you sometimes even accept it. What is he saying? Doctrine of Satan. 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 Come on. Depths of Satan as they speak, and I will put upon them, upon you, none of their burdens. Wait a minute, I skipped one in there. I skipped a verse. As many as have not this doctrine. I wanted to emphasize that what was being brought, what Jezebel here means, the spirit of Jezebel, is false doctrine. Now, in order to best understand, we've got to go back to the Old Testament. I hope you all can stay for this, because since I have so much to cover, and if I hurry up, you're going to miss it. You will miss it. Let's go to 1 Kings and 16. 1 Kings and 16, and we will begin our reading in the 30th verse. 1 Kings 16 and 30. We're talking tonight, some of you just came in, about the spirit of Jezebel. The spirit of Jezebel. Okay? And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass as if... Can I read this to you in my language? Or in plain language? And it came to pass as if he didn't have enough trouble already.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it means.
That's what it means.
Yeah. Amen.
It hath been a light thing, or is he's already got enough trouble. He's following in his father's footsteps. His father was stubborn, idolater, rebellious, unclean, and full of pride. He now has the same spirits his father had are now manifesting themselves in Ahab's life.
That's what his name means.
Yeah, well, it means like father. Yeah, it means like father. Ahab means like father. And you've heard the expression, like father, like son. Like father. That's what Ahab's name means, like father. And as though he already had enough things to overcome and repent of, to add to it, that's what it says, that's what it means, to add to it, he marries Jezebel. Are you there? Are you still with me? All right. And it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nepat, that he looked to wife Jezreel, the daughter of who? Ethbaal. And he was king of what? The Zidonians. The Zidonians practice the signs of the zodiac. They were deep in, yes, same thing, horoscope, signs of the zodiac. They were deep in witchcraft and sorcery. They practiced it. It wasn't the case that they just worshiped gods. See, there's more to this worshiping gods. I want to bring this out. Why the Lord gets so angry with idolatry? Because it really isn't. See, God's not jealous of a stone. He's not a stone statue. He's not jealous of a brass statue or iron statue. That's not it at all. It's the spirit. It's the spirit behind it. Because they would come to worship these gods, and many times they did it under drugs. And they did it with alcohol. And they would dance naked before these statues. And they would worship. And many of these, what they called them deities, were actually the men that made them, idol carvers idol makers. The engraving tool? Yeah, like that. Well, these engravers, that's what I'm trying to think, are makers of statues, sculptures, yes. They would get in their mind a vision of the deity. And the deity that they got a vision of was a demon. And they would copy it down, write it down first. You know, make a, on paper, they would write it down. Make a picture of it, and then they would go ahead and sculpt for it, and they would make this stone, or ivory, or brass, or iron, whatever material they made it out of, and it would represent a demon.
Right.
So that when they worshiped this, they would worship the demon that it represented. Are you still there?
Amen.
So what they were doing was worshiping devils. They were worshiping devils, not the statue, the devil.
That's right.
Amen. That's where she came from. She was a witch. Jezebel was a witch. And she practiced witchcraft. Sorcery. The dark arts. She was good at it. Her father, her mother had taught her everything she needed to know. The same spirits that were working in her father and her mother worked in her. And I'm going to tell you something about spirits. Spirits are assigned to families. Certain spirits. And they stay with that family from generation to generation to generation to generation. That's why when the Lord says, kill this generation, kill that generation, kill the next generation. Because those spirits are with them. They stay with them. They're assigned there. They're like a part of the family. See, a lot of things that we've called, oh, he inherits that from his father, inherits that from his mother, is a lot of things they're taking from these spirits.
Right.
It's not inheriting from their father and mother at all.
Right.
It's the spirits that have been over them for these years and years and years and years.
Amen.
I forgot to bring something along tonight that I wanted to bring. It was given to me by a dear sister, I think over in Nebraska somewhere sometime. And in there, she has a prayer for every single thing, and especially for the demons, that the demons and the devils that have bothered your parents, my father and his father and their fathers, to rebuke him, that I rebuke them, I denounce them, amen, one by one. She would go into this and go through that so that they would not come against her again. I cannot, I'm not permitted, God will not permit me tonight to tell you things that would make your hair stand on end that I experienced growing up. Just absolutely, he will not give me the liberty to talk about it. Maybe someday, privately, alone. I just won't mention, I won't even talk about it to nobody, hardly. But we had some experiences growing up as a child that made me to know that what I'm saying here is absolutely true. That spirits will come because they're there in that family, and they will affect the father, and they'll affect the son, and they'll affect the son's son, and the son's son, and the son's son, down through that whole tree, that whole family tree. Certain spirits are high. That's why certain families have certain traits.
That's right. That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
And that's why, did you hear me talk about the Campbell insignia? When I was here, remember I said about the Campbell insignia? How many was here with the one night? And I said, they send you in the mail, and you want to get your crest and, you know, your coat of arms and put it on everything. And I wasn't about to do that. I'm not even Scotch-Irish anyway, you know, so. But there is spirits. When you begin to look back into great, 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 great grandfather, you find out he had some traits. I can remember my grandfather, I don't know if I should say this, my grandfather was very strange. That is my mother's father. He came from the old country. He came from Alsace-Lorraine. He was French, all French, but he took the name, a German name, and talked German fluently, ate German food. But he was a very strange man. My grandfather would just start walking around the house, and all of a sudden he would start cursing. And he would start cursing somebody you didn't know even who he was cursing. And he said, those so-and-so and so-and-sos, those so-and-so and so-and-so. And nobody seemed to ever know who he was cursing. You understand? And now you're going to laugh at this, but we as children, when we went over to see Grandpa, we had to sit very like this. We had to sit just like this. I mean, when we sat at the table, you couldn't do anything. You couldn't scratch your nose. That was a sign. I know that sounds silly, but that was a sign. You pick your ear, you're making a sign to him. No, really. And this man would constantly rant and rave. He would go on sometimes all night long. And then it'd be all over, and he would just always his same self again, you know. But he would just go on with this, on and on, all night long. And he instilled, that spirit instilled into the daughters a fear, a terrible fear, that my mother has had to fight all these many years. A terrible spirit of fear. And a terrible fear of losing your mind and going insane. Terrible spirits. And in fact, there's been the saying in the relation, we have a large relation, of course. Well, you know, my mother was talking about my Aunt Florence. And that would be her sister, older sister, who's still alive. Said, yes, Aunt Florence is just like mother. You know, making comparisons with the spirits. And I believe, I don't only believe, I know for a fact, to every family, your family, going way, way back, there were spirits assigned. Huh? And there are certain traits to those spirits, personalities, that you will, if you're not careful, pick up. You see what I'm saying? And might even still have it coming around you. You understand? Trying to bother you, trying to disturb you, trying to attack you. They're there. All right. So, Jezebel was a witch. Oh, how do you know all of this? Well, I know it from the scripture. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 15. I want to see the combination. I want to show you the combination here of Ahab and Jezebel. As we see him in the spirit. 1 Samuel 15 and 23. Now, Samuel is talking to Saul. And how many knew that Saul got caught up in witchcraft? Sorcery. In fact, when he disobeyed, an evil spirit came and troubled him. You understand? And David used to go and play, and that spirit would quiet down or, you know, release him for a moment, temporarily. But let's see what the prophet Samuel is saying here. He uses some very strong language when he's talking to Saul. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Jezebel was rebellion. She rebelled against everything that was good and holy and righteous and just and clean. She rebelled against God, His word, and His prophets. Huh? Rebellion is as witchcraft. Stubbornness is as iniquity and what? Idolatry. What about this Ahab? Huh? What problems did it say? He walked in the sins of Jeroboam and Omri, his father. They were idolaters. And they were stubborn. They would not receive the word of truth. They wouldn't listen to sound doctrine. They had itchy ears and itchy feet. They wanted to experiment on something else. They wanted to go out and taste of some other doctrines. They weren't happy for the truth. They could not walk in truth. They couldn't receive truth. And today, there's many, many, many of God's people that are just like this here Ahab. They refuse to receive sound doctrine. They refuse to receive truth. They refuse to walk in it. They refuse the prophets of God and the word of the Lord. Honey, they're in trouble.
Right. Amen.
They have unruly, unteachable spirits. They won't sit still and take the correction of God. And because of that, they go to another place, to another fellowship, another church, another city. That's rebellion. That's rebellion. It's like witchcraft. Why does he associate rebellion with witchcraft? Well, you're going to see. It's personified here in Jezebel. Here is the mixture. We've got a stubborn king, come on, and a rebellious woman. You sure have, brother. See, Jezebel usurps God's natural chain of command, or his natural order, the order of God. The order of God is the Father, the Son, the man, the woman. When the woman begins to usurp over the man, she is out of order. She is out of order. And you see this in Jezebel. You're going to see some things tonight you've never saw in this woman before. And I trust that you will not forget it. When I get through tonight, I'm sure some of you are just going to say, my Lord, you know, because you're going to see some things you just, I know some of you have never saw before. All right. They marry. A stubborn king marries a rebellious, false teaching doctrine woman. When you're stubborn and you refuse truth and light and correction and righteous teaching and the true prophets of God, you're just like Ahab. You will get itching ears and feet, and you go where you don't want to hear that no more, where they talk of love. See the church at Thyatira? What did I say about them? They had much love, much patience. Huh? Much good works. So I don't want to hear that crazy Campbell. He's loud, he's bombastic, sweats a lot, talks a lot. I don't like what he says either. He don't talk about love and mercy and grace all the time. That's what I want to hear. Why does that bother some? Because they have secret sin in their heart.
Right.
And they don't want to straighten up and fly right. Ahab didn't want to walk right. He didn't want to come under God's subjection. He didn't want to come under the truth and clean up his act, clean up his life and walk right and think right and act right. He didn't want to do that. So a lot of people today, that's why they go running. You heard me say last night, I didn't mention, I hope, I trust, because I repented a lot after last night's meeting. I hope I did not mention anybody. Did I? If I did, saints, I apologize. I hope I didn't mention any evangelists. I just said, when they come to town. I hope I didn't mention any names. Did I?
No.
I did. Okay, thank goodness. Well, I still repented because I thought I did. You see, you can't do that. Really, what we need to do for Jimmy Swaggart is pray for his soul.
Amen. Amen.
And pray the Lord restore him.
Amen.
That's what we need to do. And Jim Baker, too.
Yes.
I think if we're saying that's good, I'm glad that happened, it should happen, we got the wrong spirit.
Amen.
I think we need to pray for them. Really pray that God restores them.
Amen.
I have nothing against them. Come on, saints.
Amen.
So we got to be careful. But getting over to this, the people that are stubborn. Here comes a word. Oh, that's a hard word. That word disturbs me. It troubles me. Why? Why should it trouble you? Why should it bother you? If it's the word of the Lord, you should embrace it. Say, gladly I receive it, Lord. Let it cleanse me, wash me, purge me. Create faith in my heart. Whatever you want to do with it, go ahead, Lord. But see, when there's secret sin, and there's something hidden in there, and the word of the Lord, you know, is so sharp, it probes down there and disturbs some people and says, oh, I don't think that's love. I don't think that's really the grace of God. That's not how Jesus would do it.
Hallelujah.
No, he'd probably take a whip cord.
Hallelujah.
You understand what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
You see, we've had so much of the other kind of mercy and grace and love and, you know, and righteousness that when it comes to the holiness and talking about living right in God and the judgment or the correction of God, nobody wants to hear that. They all want to hear this over here.
Hallelujah.
That I do. It's not coming through. Oh, okay. So, we see we've got this combination now. We've got a stubborn king who marries, goes and has an intimate relationship with who? A witch. False doctrine personified. When people, listen to this, preachers, if you're here tonight, when people, you try to bring them truth and get them to live right and walk right, and they say, I can't take your teaching, I just can't take your doctrine anymore, I'm going to leave. And they'll go off somewhere else. And they'll go where that word doesn't trouble them anymore. They'll go where the bands play and the people sing, and all they have at Sunday night is a movie or slides or some missionary. Or the pastor talk about the men going to the moon, or we're all going to fly away some glad morning. And there's no conviction of sin. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Are you following? Are you getting it real clear here tonight? Because they'd rather, they're very open. They're very open now for a false doctrine than people. You know why? Because they have sin in their heart. If you're stubborn and rebellious, that's S-I-N. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Guy, I'm going to build up his ego and his pride. That's what they attack us with, their pride. You're going to see that all here with Jezebel, everything that I'm telling you is right here manifested in this woman's life. Let's go on, or I never will get done. And a lot to go yet. All right, so it says here that after he got married. All right, they got married. He took his wife and went immediately after he got married and served Baal and worshipped him. And he raised up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal. Come on. Which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, God of Israel, to anger than all the other kings of Israel that were before him. Are you following me? Here is a stubborn king who marries a rebellious woman who is steeped in witchcraft and sorcery and the black arts, and she is going to dominate him. She's going to rule over Ahab. Ahab's no longer in rulership now. Jezebel is ruling Israel. And not Jezebel, but the spirit that's motivating Jezebel is ruling Israel now. And what has happened? Immediately they set up groves and high places and temples of worship for Baal, her gods. Are you hearing me? And that's why I'm so against mixed marriages. Young people, they say, oh well, you know, the girl says she's a Christian, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, well, you know, he's a nice fella. He's clean and he doesn't smoke, doesn't drink. He goes to church once in a while on Sunday, but I'll win him over. Doesn't work that way. Works the opposite. He wins her over. You follow what I'm saying? They have strong spirits. Anymore, I'm waking up. I should have woke up a long time ago, but anymore, I'm waking up more and more to the fact, when you get out here on your throughways and your interstates and that, and people are behind you and bump. I saw something today I'd never seen in any other place I've ever been. Now, I've been in L.A., and they're bad, the drivers are. But I was waiting to turn, and I keep thinking I was turning. I had got off on Latham exit like I was going north, and that would be Highway 5 or 7?
Seven.
And there was two cars in front of me, in fact, it was a truck, I think, a small delivery truck or something in front of me and be in front. No, I got it backwards. A truck in front of him, a camper, like a camper, you know, a pickup with a thing over, and behind him was a car. Now, it was red. You can turn right on red, unless it says you cannot turn right. Have I got it right?
Right.
I hope. I've been doing it, you know. I just hope. I got my 12 tickets, you know. But anyway, the guy in front of me could not wait. He actually pushed the other guy. I have never seen that before. He actually rammed and pushed the guy, and the guy had to go. You see that restless spirit? You see that restless spirit that is in the people of the world? They have no patience. They have no rest. They're in a hurry going nowhere. They realize they're in a hurry going nowhere. They're in a hurry going to hell, if you want to put it that way, if they don't get saved. But they're in a hurry going nowhere. That's that spirit. That is a spirit of restlessness. And sometimes with it goes a spirit of antagonizing. Can you imagine pushing them? See, they do that in L.A. now. They do that in L.A. In L.A. on the freeway? Oh, man, don't ever get there when it's busy. When you ask people down there, you say, can I get so-and-so? And they say, what time of day? They always ask you, are you going? Say, how do you get to so-and-so? Well, what time do you plan on going? Say, well, how long will it take? It'll take 20 minutes if you go now. It'll take 2 hours if you go. And they're not kidding. And they will push you aside. You either get out of the way or they will push you aside. They will absolutely push you right off. Push you right off. They do that out in L.A., but I never seen that here in New York, around here so far. That's the first time I ever seen that today. And the guy was in such a hurry. He was in such a hurry, he had to push him. That's the spirit motivating the man. So when you get on the freeway and you're exceeding the limit, I mean, in New York, you don't have your 65, see? We do over where we are in Wisconsin. But say you get here and you're going 62. And somebody comes behind you and there's other car on each side. You're in the center lane. And you want to get over, but you can't get over. He will blink his lights. He will beep his horn. He will shake his fist. You understand?
Right.
Now, what's motivating that? Why are they doing that? Why can't they just drive along peacefully? And they have no peace. They have no rest. It's the spirit that's motivating them.
Right.
Our world is being governed by spirits. And even those in high offices are being controlled by spirits.
Right.
Are you hearing me tonight?
Amen.
All right. So, in 16, all right. Now, in 1 Kings, now where did I want to bring 2nd? Oh yeah, 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. I got them in order written down here. And I don't want to go ahead. Now, 1 Kings 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. How with all he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger. I want you to underline this. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, huh? So, what is that word, saints? Let, thank you. I don't have my glasses, I should wear them. Saying, so let the gods, what gods? The gods she worshiped, the evil spirits. So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy light as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Third verse. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Bathsheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Next verse. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and he sat down under a juniper tree. And what did he say? Please let me die. Huh? The prophet of God, the great prophet of God, just slain 450 prophets a few days ago. You listening? And said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. I'm going to share something with you. An incident that happened to me. About a year ago, I got a letter, typewritten letter, from a lady who is a minister. And I know this woman. And the letter started out, I had been in their particular area, and she happened to be there, and she came in and sat in on the meetings. She was there in the meetings. And her husband. And she sat there and listened, and she was in the meetings. Now, it was like a month later, and about a year ago, I got a letter from her, and she started out, "Dear Brother Campbell, we certainly appreciated hearing you, and your message was very timely, and was very edifying." And she goes on, buttering me up, telling how great this message was. Now we get down, and there was a 2-page long letter, and she was just going on and appealing to my pride, and telling of, you know, how wonderful God uses you, and how time and time again you have brought so many things that have been so timely. We get to the next page, and all of a sudden the whole tone changes. And instead of a blessing, it was a curse to me. That this and thus and so will happen to thee. And thus and so would happen to you. And as I read it, fear gripped my heart. Immediately I read this, and fear began to grip my heart. And I couldn't explain what it was, but fear immediately gripped my heart. So I reread the thing again, and the more I read, the worse I felt. So this particular woman had been spreading much, much, much gossip and negative things about our dear brother DeCille and about another brother, Clayton Sonmore. Maybe he's been here. Has he been here?
No, not yet.
To a point of ridiculing, accusing, false accusations, putting them down. "You are a false prophet. You are not living right." But she didn't do that to me. Now, a strange thing happened, that Brother DeCille saw what that spirit was. Brother Clayton Sonmore saw what that spirit was, because they both confronted her. At least Brother DeCille confronted her. And when he confronted her, she said, "Oh no, that's just a misunderstanding. That's not at all what I meant. I meant something different, you know." And Brother DeCille couldn't understand this. It just didn't make sense to him. So he talked with her, and then seemingly it would seem like everything was fine. He got back home, and it wasn't short after that, he got another letter, and this one was worse than anyone she ever got. So she was one thing one time when you talked to her, and another thing when you were away from her. Now, as it happened, Brother DeCille, God began to show him the spirit that was working. And this woman traveled to many of the groups in our fellowship. And she was spewing this out, this discord. And with it came false doctrine. Now, I didn't say a word. You understand? And Brother Clayton Sonmore couldn't understand. He said, "I don't understand it. Why doesn't Brother Campbell speak up? He always does other times. Why doesn't he speak up now? Why isn't he declare something now?" And so I didn't know this. I had no idea. I just kind of stayed away from it all. You know what I mean? I didn't get involved in it. And one day, I was reading this, and it came to me. Huh? Just like a flash of lightning. He said, "That woman is of the Jezebel spirit," the Lord told me. "And the same spirit that she sent after the prophet, she sent after you." And when this prophet, Elijah, was a man of God, he wasn't afraid of nothing. He just had slain 450 prophets. And I don't think you or I would run from the words of a woman or a man. That wasn't it. Wasn't the words that made him run. It was the spirit that she sent after him. The evil spirits that went after this man, he ran from. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
a great, holy, righteous prophet of God, a man of God, running. He didn't know it. He didn't know what he was running from. He thought he was running from Jezebel. He wasn't running from Jezebel. See? She had cast a spell. She had cursed him. And those spirits were after him right now. The spirits that worked in her, I don't know how many she had, but they were going after him, and to his alarm, to his dismay, fear gripped his heart. To a point said, oh, let me die! Can you imagine that? Let me die! I don't want to go on living! So I tell you, my friends, that this spirit of witchcraft, this spirit of Jezebel, of false doctrine, has great force behind it, because it's not just words, it are spirits. Not one spirit. There could be 100, there could be 1,000 or 10,000 of them that are behind it. It must have taken more than one to cause this prophet to run. I'm just guessing. I don't know how many went after him, but Jezebel cursed him. Said, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die! How was she going to do it? She was going to do it by these spirits. She sent these spirits of destruction and death, come on, and fear after him to a point that that prophet ran. I mean physically ran. I wouldn't have done that, bless God. No, you'd have just fell dead. Don't tell me your cuteness and your smartness. You don't know what you're talking about, some of you. You think you can just stamp your foot and say in the name of Jesus, go ahead. Honey, you don't know what you're talking about. You have no idea what I'm talking about tonight, if that's what you think. Because these spirits are strong. And they were working through this woman. They had possessed her. And now she cursed that man, sent them spirits after the man of God. And the man of God ran and wanted to die. The Lord come along and says, prophet, what are you doing? What's going on here? He said, what are you doing? Oh, he said, I want to die. I just want to die. He lay and slept under the juniper tree, and the angel touched him, and he arose, and then he ate again. And he came thither to a cave, and the word of the Lord came to him, and he said, what doest thou here, Elijah? He said, I have been very jealous, Elijah says, for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. I'm the only one left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand up upon the mount before the Lord. Now the Lord was giving Elijah a lesson here. Because you see the wind, and the fire, the earthquake, they all passed, but God was not in it. But he came in a still small voice. Now I think God was giving him a lesson. He was showing him, you see the thunder, the earthquake, you see the fire, you see the wind, all of that. All right. He said, I'm here in a still small voice. And I have control over these things. I have power over these things. For the next thing he tells him, he says, come here. I'm going to get rid of that Jezebel. I want you to go and anoint Jehu. Huh? That he will kill Jezebel and Ahab's son. And the ones that are not killed, Elisha will take care of the rest.
Hallelujah.
You hear what I'm saying? The ones that are not killed by Jehu, Elisha will take care of. He said, I'm going to get rid of this Jezebel right now. And so anyway, the prophet of God ran from this woman. He ran from the spirits. Huh? He ran from the spirits. In 1 Kings 21, that's, where were we, 19? All right, 21, just another page over. And let's read this here now. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel. Hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs. because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or I will even give you gold. I will give thee the worth of it in money. But Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Oh, there's type here too. I haven't got time to get into this. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his head. And he turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I'll give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? You're a king. Huh? You're a king. Arise, eat thy bread, and let thy heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. You know, there's something very subtle about the doctrine of prosperity. The doctrine of prosperity says, the faith guys, you're a king. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Therefore, the Lord wants you to prosper. Because of your position in God, He wants you to possess anything you want. If you want that Cadillac, you can have it. You're a king. Jesus wore seamless robes. Jesus had gold given to him by the kings. He wasn't a poor man. He didn't wear cheap suits. You're a king. The king should have the best. You're a chosen generation. God wishes above all things that you prosper. Huh? And there's something very subtle about that, because most of them that are in that prosperity message worship the God of materialism and not Christ. Christ says, to lose everything.
Hallelujah.
To lay it all on the altar. Paul says, I count the loss of everything rather than to gain material things. He says, love not the world nor the things of the world.
Right.
Hmm? And the prosperity message is very subtle, but it don't appeal to everyone. But you know who it appeals to? Those that are stubborn and rebellious and have sin in their heart. To puff them up and tell them, God loves you. God loves you. Now He'll always love you. And every good gift comes from the Father. So ask what you want, and He'll give it unto you. Huh? That your soul may be happy. Oh, and your soul is happy. But your spirit, there's leanness.
Right. That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Amen. The Jezebel doctrine, and she's telling the king, who are you? You're the king of Israel. You don't need to ask anybody. It's yours. It's under your jurisdiction. It's in your kingdom. You've got a right. You're the king. Go ahead. You can have anything you want. That's what Jezebel says, the Jezebel spirit. Hmm? You can have anything you want. Hmm? And with that spirit comes a lightness and a frivolous spirit. You don't see in those meetings people fasting, praying, waiting on God for the altar, at the altar, or waiting on God for days and days, that He will cleanse them from their unrighteousness and their sins. You don't see them seeking God that way. They name it and claim it. That's their doctrine. And the spirit behind it, unbeknown to them, is that Jezebel spirit. It's all yours, King. It's all yours. You can have it all. Why live like a pauper? Why walk around in patched up clothes? You can have the best. The very best. God wants you to have the very, very, very best. And people go out and their ears perk up to that. There's something very vain and very covetous about that message. See, I don't see any difference with that and the Amway gimmick, the Mary Kay gimmick. They're all the same. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, because I used to work at SDI, Sales Training Institute, and we used to interview these people. And I'll tell you what happened one time. I was interviewing this fella to take our course that was not a gimmick. It was a 9-month business college. And you learn many things in there. You did learn motivation, human relations, management, and effective speech, effective communication. And I was talking to this one fellow who was with the Amway deal. And he was saying, I was telling him about the course. He said, I've got all of that. He said, I've got all that. I says, you have? I said, well, you know, usually this is just kind of, you know, a foundation that once you get this, it helps you. It's just tools to help you. You don't get rich overnight with what I'm giving you, you know. Oh, he says, you know what? He said, I've got a scrapbook at home. I says, you do? He said, yep. And he said, on the first page, what do you think I have? I said, I don't know. He said, I have a $300 mansion, a picture of a $300 mansion pasted in there. He said, on the second page, I have a yacht. So on the third page, he said, I have a home, oh, a bank account, that was it. I have, what is it, $100,000 or $50,000 in the bank, a picture of the bank. And he was going page by page, all of these things, see, mind over matter, you know. And I asked him, I said, say, could I ask you one question? I says, do you have that mansion right now? No. Well, I mean, do you have that yacht right now? No. Well, I mean, do you have that $50,000? You got to start at probably $20,000, $10,000. Ain't got a dime. In fact, he says, I've taken all my life savings out to get into this program. I said, you've been taken, mister. I said, you have been taken. I said, you are living in a dream world. The man that talked to you created a vision and an image in your mind. And with that came a spirit. And you actually are believing you got something you don't got. You have it, but you don't have it. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, if you say to me, Brother Campbell, would you like a chocolate cake? That's my favorite. Four layers, gooey. Black forest, German black forest cake. Oh, I can see it now. Nom, 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 nom. Where is it? Take me to it. I just said, you know, would you like it? I said, yeah, take me to it. I want to eat it right now. Oh, you can't eat it right now. I'm just telling you, wouldn't that be nice if you had it right now? I said, it doesn't do me any good if I can't eat it. You understand what I'm saying? And that is their theology or their doctrine. I don't know if any of you are hooked up in that, but I tell you right now, if you ought to get out, get your money out, invest in the kingdom of God, honey.
Amen.
Because they're going to get your money. You know, the thing about that, they say, oh, yeah, but this one here is making zillions of dollars. Yeah, they are, but you're not. If you get to be district of the district of the district of the district of the vice president of the vice president, you're going to make it too, because you're going to have 2,400 people under you, huh, that are giving you. You're getting a cut off of what they're getting. Oh, come on, saints. And the prosperity message is very similar in spirit. telling you about something you haven't got, building fantasies in your mind. Hmm? Oh, come on, say amen.
Amen. Right.
Come on, say amen.
Amen.
And that is the most damnable doctrine, huh? Because people that do, if they do benefit from that. I know some businessmen that got hooked up in this prosperity message, and they did get a whole bunch of money. Huh? Yeah. And then about 5 years later, he came back and they're declaring bankruptcy. They never kept it. You get it that way, you never keep it. Anything God gives you, you can keep. If he says you can keep it. Come on, say amen. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Hmm?
Amen.
That spirit of Jezebel is so strong and covetous. The doctrine of Jezebel, it is covetous. It will bring to your mind, it will drop seeds in your mind, in your heart. Yeah, I am somebody. I mean, that old preacher over there talking about sin and getting me all upset. Oh, getting me all disturbed. Oh, tell me about lying. Tell me about I got to get things right with my brother. And I've got to get healed in my tongue and my spirit. Oh, that's a bunch of baloney. I'm a child of God. I'm a king. Glory to God. This man here knows what he's talking about now. He's telling me I'm going to be prosperous. I'd like to hear that. That's marvelous. Oh, glory to God. I feel like dancing and singing now.
Amen.
Ahab felt that way.
Amen.
He felt that way. You're going to see just a minute. And he says, listen. She says, listen, you want that? Who are you anyway? You're the king. Says she. So the 8th verse. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city dwelling at Naboth. Now, you know what she did? Dwelling with Naboth. You know what she did? She sent letters on messengers, and they said, have a feast day. Day of fasting, rather. And then honor Naboth. And then get these two false witnesses, she must have paid them, and come and bear witness against him in front of all the people that he blasphemes God. And then take him out and stone him. So they got that. The elders there got that, and they feared her. They wouldn't go against her, boy. She's ruling the kingdom, not Ahab. Come on. That spirit of Jezebel, which is demoniac, is ruling. Huh? You know that was ruling our nation?
That's right.
Reagan's? It finally came out, didn't it? There was rumors that they were following astrology and that, and then finally came out and said, oh yeah. Then he finally said, yeah, but that never influenced me. Yes, it did.
Right.
And everybody that's been kicked out of there, you know, kicked out of his, or she didn't like, she got rid of him. Anybody in his cabinet she didn't like, she got rid of him. And they came out and said she was running things in the White House, not President Reagan.
That's right.
And what was behind her was a spirit. She was looking to witchcraft. She was looking to sorcery. Come on. Come on. That's right. Fortune tellers. Huh? Tell me, what sign will I have? Will this be a good sign or a bad sign? What shall we do? Was running the country. Yeah, but you say, oh, Brother Kevin, that's just one isolated. No, it goes way back. Abraham Lincoln. Listen to this. His wife, that would be Mrs. Lincoln, was given over to fortune telling and seances. And before he died, the night or two before he died at the Ford Theater was shot, she was in a seance and was told that everything is fine, that it looks good for him, that he should go. And he went to the Ford Theater and was shot by Booth that night. Or Booth, what? No, that's
right, John.
Yeah, John Wilkes Booth. Let's say Mudd, but that's not his name. Mudd is the one that got blamed, but Booth is the one that did it. Yeah, okay. He was shot by Booth. He was a Christian. Abraham Lincoln was a Christian. A real born-again believer. But his wife leaned towards spiritualism. Indulged in it. and it killed him. There is a spirit in the White House that every 20 years there's a curse. A president shall die, be assassinated. All of this is coming out now. Why is God showing us these things now? Why is everything coming to light? Because what I said, what God told me a year ago, you're not fighting, wrestling against flesh and blood. A woman made you afraid, Brother Campbell? No. But the spirit that was motivating the woman, that the woman don't even know the spirit was motivating her, caused my heart to fear. And when I read this about Elijah, I'm telling you, brethren, that thing just hit me like that and said, oh my God, that's what I was against. I didn't discern. I knew that the spirit of Laodicea was working in the woman. That I knew. But I didn't know the spirit of Jezebel was operating in her. I didn't know that until the Lord showed me this. That's why you were so afraid. She sent that spirit of fear. She sent it by the means of contact with that paper. You say, don't work. Oh, it does work. The Jews in Africa, the Africans, they got the witch doctor will take and give me something, he'll say. Give me something. What have you got? Okay, give me a comb. Give me this or give me that. He touches that. And he prays and there's a contact made. Say, no. Yes. I'm going to give you a good example of it. Remember when Paul, certain people were sick, and Paul was brought what? Handkerchiefs? And he anointed them, and he sent it, and they were healed. If the good spirits, come on, the good spirits of God, come on, the healing spirits, come on, of God can be sent forth as a medium. A medium! Are you following me? Saints, you and I don't know how many have cursed us. You and I are not even aware of how many so-called friends we used to have that turned against us, cursed us. We don't know how many evil spirits that have come again. We don't understand why is our house plagued with sickness. Why? I'm waking up, brother. Brother Mark, I'm waking up. We couldn't figure it out either. Why? My wife said there's spirits against us. Day and night we're fighting them. Where are they coming from? We're being cursed by the spirit of Jezebel. Come on, saints. We're not talking about a man or a woman now. We're not talking about a woman. Don't scare me. A man don't. I'm not a scare. I tell you, I'm not afraid of no man. Amen. I'm not afraid of no woman. I'm not afraid of man or beast. I am not. I am that way. But I was scared stiff. And my wife couldn't figure it out. She said, what's wrong with you anyway? I don't know what it is, dear. I don't know what it is. I couldn't discern it. It didn't come to me what it was. All of a sudden, I said, oh my God. That's it. I said, God, that's operating. He said, yes, son. It's operating in the church. Where did I read to you in Revelations 2 and 18? Jesus is speaking, not a prophet. Jesus is talking to the church. He says, you've got that Jezebel spirit. It's working. Oh, saints, come on.
Hallelujah.
You're going to see some more yet. I've just opened up. I hope you got the time.
Amen. Amen.
I just really open up here because, saints, God's dealt with me for some time about this and made it very clear. All right, she sent the letters out. The letters went out. The messengers went out. And they brought this to Naboth. And Naboth said, all right, we go along with you. We can't resist these spirits. This woman is too strong. She's ruling Israel. And he went along with it. They finally came up and they proclaimed the day of fasting. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. They honored him. You understand? Then the two false witnesses said, that man blasphemes God. That man speaketh evil. That man speaketh against. He slandereth. And they took him out and stoned him. Now, he comes back and he says, she said, it's yours. And Ahab says, you know, got to say this about her. Boy, she sure goes after and gets what she wants. I don't necessarily agree with all of her methods, but look, she got me my vineyard. Huh? She really gets what she goes after, that woman. You know? Wait a minute. He goes down to claim. You see, in those days, when a man was caught blaspheming and stoned, the property went to the king. Did you know that? The property went to the king. It was given to the king. When it's blaspheming. See? You understand what I'm saying? I don't mean if he had done another thing or committed a crime or something, that would have been different. You know, thrown in prison, then his heirs and that. But when it's blaspheming, then you see the king gets it. It's all inheritance. Huh? Oh, he's got it. Now he's going down to Naboth's vineyard to get it. But I'm reading for 1 Kings 21 and 17. But the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and slain, killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place wherein thou goest, where the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall the dogs lick the blood, even God." Are you still with me? Hallelujah. Next verse, and that would be 20. "And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord." Now skip down, if you will, to me, the 25th verse. "But there was none like unto Ahab," prophet still speaking, "which did set himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up." A person that's having problems, a person that has a stubborn spirit or a rebellious spirit that has sin in their heart and doesn't want to get delivered from that and doesn't want to come clean and walk straight, doesn't want to stay where they're hearing what they call condemnation messages. But it's really conviction, though. That leave that, and they join themselves to someone who's rebellious, like them. Like attracts like. And go where they're preaching false doctrine, and be able to receive that, so that now, instead of that person, let me give you an example. When David sinned and transgressed his sin with Bathsheba, the prophet Nathan didn't come along and say, "God loves you. God bless you. God prosper you. Because you're a king." No. "Thou art the man, David. Repent of your evil doings and change." The last thing in the world that David needed was a soothsayer and a false prophet to come along and say, "All is fine and well. Bless you, David. The Lord loveth you, David. The Lord prosper you, David." Nonsense. He needed someone to tell him the truth. The last thing that Ahab needed was Jezebel. Mm-hmm. Ahab already had problems in his nature. Come on. But he joined himself unto more rebellion, and he married those spirits of false doctrine. Come on, saints. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, there are people with rebellious spirits in the church, in the body of Christ, that have stubborn spirits. They won't sit still and take sound teaching. Come on. They won't take correction by God. They will not listen to sound doctrine. They say, "I don't like that. That's too hard. That's not God. That's not love. That's not the grace of God. That's not the mercy of God. I'm going to get out of this place." And they go where their spirit would lead them, where they have spirits that are like them that they can join themselves to.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And it says, "And she stirred him up."
Yep.
Huh? Mm-hmm. She stirred him up.
he was no help to him at all.
Saints, I'm going to tell you right here and now what I believe, and I don't have time to preach on the authority of God. I wish I would stay over another day, I would. But the authority of God is something not to toy with. Don't fool with it. Don't mess with it, I'm saying. God the Father, the Son, the Spirit, Christ being the head of man being the head of woman. And that's the order of God. I did not arrange it. I did not set it up that way. He did. When the woman gets out of her place and rules over man, she is out of context, she is out of order, she is out of favor with God. Are you there?
Amen.
It's very quiet.
Amen.
But that is the order of God.
Amen.
And today, women, I am not putting you down. I am not against you. I think if you go out and work in an office and a man's getting $35,000 a year, you ought to get $35,000 a year for doing the same job. That's what I believe. You want to talk about equal rights? I believe that. But I do not believe this equal rights thing. And women's rights today has gone the opposite way.
That's right.
And there's a spirit with it.
That's right.
That they don't want to be equal, they want to rule over.
Amen.
And that's what Jezebel did. That's why the people of God had so much trouble, Israel, because a woman was out of her place and out of order, ruling Israel. Ahab wasn't ruling, Jezebel was ruling, but behind it was the spirit. Probably many spirits.
Oh, yes.
Oh, come on. Don't get mad at me, ladies. I'm not picking on you. You heard what I said about equal? I believe that. But I believe in God's order and God's authority, and He delegates it. And I'll tell you this. I'm not going to stand before you and use that old quotation or byword, don't touch God's anointed, because that can run into the ground. But I will say this, that if you don't respect the vessel that God sends, you don't respect God.
Right.
God backed up Moses. And he let it be known to Aaron and to Miriam, this is my man. Listen to what he says. I've sent him, I've ordained him. If you hear him, you hear me. And if you won't hear him, you will not hear me. Samuel, the prophet, was so upset and he was so heavy of heart. They want a king, Lord. Oh, they rejected me. No, he said, they rejected me. My rightful place is to be king and lord over their life.
Yes.
And some of the people of God today are still saying, give us a king.
That's right.
And when you get your king, that guy whom you call your super pastor, you're going to get the whole package.
That's right.
He's going to make you dig deep in your pockets.
That's right.
He's going to make you sacrifice. Till he gets what he wants, what he thinks the church should have, what it needs, not what you think, not what God, but what he thinks.
That's
why God's taking down that.
Pulling
down that authority of man. That rulership of man. Come on, saints.
Amen.
All right. So, anyway, what happened? How did Ahab respond to this message of holiness and righteousness and conviction that the prophet preached? It says here in the 27th verse, and it came to pass when Ahab heard these words that he did what? He rent his clothes, he put sackcloth upon his flesh, he fasted, he lay in sackcloth, and he
ran.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah.
And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbled himself before me? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring this evil in his days.